start to give your writers more of a voice and start to throw out of the window style guidelines and tone of voice guidelines. Let the writer know the topic and let the writer write from their voice.
Hello, welcome to this episode of B2B Marketers Can Laugh. Today we're joined with Ray Berry, legendary copywriter. But before that, just give a big shout out to B2B Pod Pros, who's producing this episode and is also my business. We help B2B companies accelerate trust at scale via group podcast sponsorships. Now, in this episode, we talk about how content is changing in the B2B landscape and what brands should do if they want to stay with the trends and be competitive. Ray also shares his experience as a dyslexic founder. Let's jump into that discussion now with Ray. My guest today is Ray Berry, founder of DSLX Content. It is a content writing agency where he helps SaaS businesses produce high-quality content, which results in more page visits, brand authority, and signups. Ray is based out of Barcelona. Ray, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, pleasure having you here. So the first question is, let's talk about innovation, because innovation can be it could be a new method, a new idea, a new product. For example, back in the 1950s, cosmetics brand Estee Lauder, they introduced what could be considered a revolutionary marketing concept. They offered customers a free bag that was filled with product samples upon purchasing a perfume. And this not only drove more sales, but it marked the beginning of a trend that would reshape the retail industry. Okay. Now, when we're talking about innovation in regards to content in the B2B world, what are some new and interesting things that you are seeing, and what sort of innovation does DSLX bring to the market?
Yeah, that's such a cool question. Okay. I think that in terms of what I'm seeing is a blend of mixed media content. So notoriously, TikTok has just been TikTok videos, Instagram has just been feed posts with smart caption. Now, of course, there's a few bits more, but we're starting to see people bring other content formats to channels that aren't used to them. So, for example, in blog content, we'll have an entire blog sparked off of one TikTok video, and then we'll have TikTok videos supporting that blog. And so we're starting to see like mixed media a lot more. And I think the way that's going to go in 2024 is we're going to start seeing even new forms of media that we are not so accustomed to.
Yeah.
For example, I had a new call yesterday with a client that they create 3D avatars of you from a selfie. And I'm really excited to see where this type of new content threads into all of our typical content channels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very, very true. I see some B2B content creators, for example, producing a lot more video than your standard text posts or image posts like on LinkedIn. And they're very creative. They capture attention and they earn, you know, the click and the viewer's time and the engagement. So I definitely agree with you there. Hey there, fellow marketers. Are you tired of juggling multiple platforms for meetings, webinars, and calendar bookings? It can be a nightmare just setting up a simple team meeting. But what if I told you there's a platform that is super user-friendly and can do all of this? Well, say hello to Sessions. More than just a Zoom alternative, Sessions is like having a personal assistant for all your meetings. It provides meeting notes, makes it easy to share documents and screens, distills key points for quick overviews, and makes it easy for everyone to work on one board. I use it for all of our B2B podcast community meetings, and I love it. One reviewer raved about Sessions, saying, "In a world where remote work and virtual meetings are becoming the norm, Sessions stands out as a platform that takes video conferencing to the next level." Ready to give your meetings and webinars a professional edge instantly? Click the link in the show notes or head over to sessions.us today and try it out for free. That's sessions.us. Don't miss out on the platform that will soon be a leader in the meeting space, allowing you to have better online interactions. Visit sessions.us today. What are some interesting things, like maybe like a use case that you've done for a client that you would be happy to share?
Yeah, we actually in the middle of one now that I'm really excited about. Content, especially B2B content, has been notoriously, we as the company, it's been very formal. And I had a client come to me saying, "Ray, I want 15 articles on these topics, new website. That's it. I just had the topics. So it was up to us to do title, briefing, outlines, content, delivery, everything. And I said, how would you feel if we start doing some first-person content and I want us to start featuring actual writers that have had this experience or feature someone that does, but it's all written from the writer's perspective. And this in B2B SaaS is not really being done. They're more like diary entries or journals than professional, typical business content. So I would say we're in the midst of it at the moment because we've just started publishing for them. But I'm really getting good feedback on the tone of voice that we're using because we're using the writer's tone of voice rather than the businesses. The topic is the businesses, but the tone of voice and the style is the writers. So we're creating some really unique pieces of content. And I think with AI coming up, that's going to be more and more necessary because human experiences are the only things that we can really hold true to ourselves at the moment when we're competing against AI. And AI has not lived those experiences that we have. So
yeah,
I'm trying to find a unique approach to content in that way that hopefully I have a business case for in a couple of months.
Can the writers be somebody outside the company in that example?
Yeah. So he came to my agency because he didn't want us to ghostwrite for anyone in the company. He wanted writers with their own experiences, with their own angles, and he wanted to publish them and say, this is this writer, this is their bio, this is their experience. And that's something that Google's really looking for in their new framework is that experience of someone unique. So there's no point in us ghostwriting 15 articles for the founder of a business when Google knows, hey, a founder's not going to have time to do that. So the name is true on all of the articles, and I love that. And I hope I get more clients like that in the future.
Well, speaking of clients in your business, when did you launch your agency?
2.5 years ago now, give or take a couple of months. I was freelancing for a year before that, and demand just kept going. And so I said, yeah, this is bigger than me. And I launched YesLX because of that.
Okay, good for you. Next question for you. The other day, we had this massive snowfall here in Bucharest. And so the next day, I phoned some of the other dads and I told them to bring their kids and meet us at the park. Now, of course, when we got there, it was on, Ray. It was on. Big snowball fight. I was throwing snowballs at all the kids and all the dads. I was diving behind trees and I was like, you know, making these snowballs and hiding them in places so I knew where to get them when I was running. And I was acting a lot different than some of the other dads out there. And this one dad in particular said, Eric, I've never seen you so happy in your life, right? Now, that said, you describe yourself as being a neurodiverse person. Can you explain what that means and why the skill sets of a neurodiverse person or, you know, people may be in high demand?
Yeah. So I'm neurodiverse in the sense that I'm dyslexic, and there's been a ton of research this year, especially as we move into more AI-centric companies, that the hard skills and the soft skills of dyslexic people, I think we have to call them power skills now, power skills of dyslexic people are going to be in higher demand than ever before to enable companies to be able to work with these machines. So when I say neurodiverse, I'm specifically dyslexic, and some of the skill sets that dyslexic people have are creative thinking, our imagination, problem solving, communication, empathy, and all of these skills for the fifth industrial revolution, which is, I would say, underway, are what businesses are really going to need to navigate this storm. So I think it's something worth celebrating. And I think this year especially is the time for neurodiverse people to start really championing what has supposedly held them back in the past. I think this is the year that it's really going to help us succeed.
Yeah. So you call them superpowers. And just to make sure that I've got this straight, that some of the skills that dyslexic people have is the ability to not just creative think, but then also problem solving. Like, can you kind of go a little bit deeper into that?
Yeah. So every dyslexic mind is different. Every mind is different. Every person that has dyslexia works with a different, skill set of being dyslexic. And problem solving tends to be that dyslexic people can see the bigger picture. rather than get caught up in a small part of a project, they can see the entire project and approach the entire project at the same time. Whereas a lot of people that don't suffer from dyslexia like to work in a linear step. Project managers will always say, you know, this is the first thing we need to do. This is the second thing. This is the third thing. Whereas dyslexics will say, okay, in order for us to do the fifth thing on your list, let's do the third, the fourth, and the seventh, because that will enable us. And it's just something that dyslexics can really start to champion this year, is that this problem-solving area of their mind enables them to see the bigger picture, like a huge piece of the puzzle, and they can piece it together at the same time rather than doing piece by piece.
Okay. Now, as a founder, what are some things that you would probably consider like weaknesses? You know, for example, maybe, and I don't think you are, but maybe you're a bit introvert, and maybe you feel that hurts you as an agency owner.
I've got a couple of weaknesses, I would say. I think they come and go. I definitely have needed to identify what they are and employ people that fill that space for me, and knowing what those weaknesses are and being able to say, you know what, for example, I'm awful with numbers. I despise numbers. I used to call numbers letters when I was younger. So for me, numbers, I just don't want to be involved in any of the billing, invoicing, financing, any of this of my business, because I know I'll slip up. Find someone that can do it for you, especially as, you know, early stage founders, we tend to do everything. And that is just a hat that I do not want to wear. So for me, numbers is a huge weakness. I would say to an extent, organization as well. The amount of times I've confused, and this is because of dyslexia, I've confused timings with, for example, on a 24-hour clock, 1,700 hours, in my head, I've read 7 p.m. rather than 5 p.m. And so I've turned up 2 hours late to something or 2 hours early to something. And that's just a real pain point for me. So actually, for your podcast, the reminders that I got for this were fantastic, because I was like, great, I'm so aware of the hour that I need to meet Eric. We're good there. So yeah, definitely organization in that respect. And again, numbers are a huge weakness for me.
Yeah. Well, I can't take credit. That's automation. The only thing I can say is that I do try to send a personal video to all my guests the week of the recording, just to kind of give them that extra reminder, like, hey, we got a show this week.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. I saw that in my inbox and I was like, what? This is awesome. It's just like film from your kitchen, right? I want to do that with my clients. I think that's such a nice touch.
I usually do them outside, but damn, it's like below freezing right now.
Yeah, and I'm
like,
blame you.
Yeah, right. It's like I'd be out in the snow freezing my ass off talking to you
just
right
for
now.
The video.
Yeah. Okay, Ray. Now, one of the things I'm trying to do to elevate the members' participation in my B2B podcasters community is gamify it. And so, for example, members get points when they do certain things, like when they support another member. If they give another member a really good podcast review and a star rating, then they get some points. If they recommend someone else who would be a good guest, they get some points. Is there something that you try to do to really elevate either somebody who's working on your team, their experience, or maybe even a client's experience when they start collaborating with you for your services?
So this is really interesting that you say that. I literally wrote an article yesterday on employee recognition initiatives, and one of the strategies was gamification and a point system. And I used a case study from another company that have actually got it up and running at the moment. But we are introducing a badge system at DSLX for our writers that we feature on the website. So actually yesterday we launched a Writers Academy. And as you go through the Writers Academy, you'll start to earn different levels as a writer. And then when we publish your work on the DSLX website, you'll have a badge next to your name that showcases the courses that you've done or the level that you're in or things like that. So it's all a work in progress at the moment. But for example, DSLX full-time members will have a certain badge. People that have taken certain courses in the academy will have certain badges. So we're trying to gamify that education experience for our writers via the academy. And that's something that I'm really excited for. We're launching a new website in 2 weeks. So again, a work in progress, but it's coming and I'm really excited for it.
Very, very cool. All right. Before we get into the rapid fire questions, anything else that you want to add about how the landscape is changing when it comes to B2B content?
I would say, and my biggest piece of advice for businesses that are investing in B2B content this year is start to give your writers more of a voice and start to throw out of the window style guidelines and tone of voice guidelines. Let the writer know the topic and let the writer write from their voice, because that is what is going to set your content apart from all of these businesses that are using AI to generate content and to generate really generic content. I think we're going to start really appreciating first person writing more. And that will be my advice to anyone looking to invest in it this year.
All right. Got it. Got it. Okay. Rapid fire time. Give me the first answer that pops into your head. Are you ready?
Gosh. Yeah, I think so. This makes me nervous.
All right. When you were a kid, you wanted to be blank. Fill in the blank.
I wanted to be a director of movies.
Okay. You know what? If I would love to be that as well. Like, who are some of your favorite directors?
None come to mind right now. Always away. But I just love the idea of pulling movies together and making it work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, very cool. I think that's one of the coolest professions that there is. And yeah, if I could go
I
back in time.
I just want to sit in that chair as well.
Okay, next question. Craziest thing you ever did to either make money or save money?
Oh, craziest thing I ever did. Starting a business, I would say. when I started freelancing and I started realizing how much I could earn as a freelancer, and then I quit my full-time day job and said, let's do this. I would say that is probably the biggest risk I've ever taken, but one that has really paid off to enable me to save money and buy a home. I bought a home last year, so I'm really happy.
All right. Good for you. Any advice to other freelancers who are people that are thinking about becoming freelancers?
Oh, gosh, a lot. Know your worth and how much you want to charge. Know your capacity and what you can achieve in a week or a month. And don't overpromise your deliverables.
Okay. All right. Next question. Best advice that either your mom or dad or somebody close to you ever gave you?
Best advice, I would say, is more of a motto that my parents live by, is that they say, we're happy when you're happy. And for me to move away to Spain and leave them in England, that was a thing that made me feel comfortable with living here, is that it gave them so much joy to see me so joyful. And yeah. I think that's what I try to live and encompass in managing a team, in managing my friends. I'm happy as long as they're happy. And yeah. I'll do whatever it takes to ensure that their happiness happens.
Well, I'm sure part of the reason they were happy is because they had some place warm to go to in the summers with beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
There, right?
Also, the free holidays helped 100%.
Okay, last question for you. Blank is a food that my partner or a close friend enjoys, but I really hate.
Chicken. It's not that I hate it. I can't eat it. I get allergic reactions to chicken, which is really random.
Okay.
And everyone thinks I'm being fussy or thinks that I'm being, I'm a vegetarian, some weird version of a vegetarian, but I can't eat it anymore. So it's actually quite sad for me.
Okay. All right. Ray, thanks for coming on Innovators Can Laugh.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Eric.
Yeah. For everybody listening, I will include links to Ray's LinkedIn profile as well as his website. And feel free to share this with others if you enjoyed it. That's how we get the show out there and get the word out there about Innovators Can Laugh. Until next week, this is Eric signing off. Cheers. All right. Thank you so much, Ray, for coming on. I appreciate how you were very open about your experience with dyslexia. Thanks to B2B Pod Pros for producing this. And of course, big thanks to you for listening.